What a wonderful moment in God's house. Amen. Just one amen. 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 It's good to be in His presence. Beautiful days up until our Resurrection Sunday services, and I'm sure you're familiar with those services. If you're not, they're on our Facebook page and on our website, and we're going to have this. This will be, you see the lift in the back. We've got all kinds of stuff going on. We're going to have all new lighting in here, and I got a demo of that lighting. Let me tell you, it is absolutely awesome. And it's for the glory of God. It's for our viewers online. You're going to be able to see a whole lot better. Aren't you excited about that, or am I the only one? Yeah. I want to read something to you that I read up to my... Sam and I are doing several Lent devotionals, but I want to read a very familiar portion of Scripture to you. It's in Mark 15:34, and you'll recognize it right away. It says this. It says, And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out with a loud voice. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And when I begin to read that this week, I begin to think, man, Jesus himself had felt forsaken in a moment. And it struck me to think to myself that many people in our culture, many people in the church that I even talk to, and many people around the world right now, if you're watching the news, it's easy to see that people feel forsaken. You're going to have to talk to me a little bit this morning. It's easy to feel forsaken, like someone that you thought you could count on has turned their back on your best loyalty. How many of you have ever felt that way? Just wave at me. Let me know I'm not alone. My first thought this morning is this. The Scripture says that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. In life and in death, God is with us. And I wanted to say this, and I wrote it right in my notes because I felt it so strongly, that someone, you are in your late stages of life. And that is just a reality that has looked you square in the eyes. You've had conversations with your doctors. You've heard from the Lord that you are in the late stages of your life. And I want to tell you this morning that even though you might be in the late stages of your life here, that God has prepared a place for you, that where He is, you may be also, and He has not forsaken you, that He has a place for you. And the Bible says that a day is like 1,000 years, and a 1,000 years is like a day. The truth is, we'll all be with Him soon. But you are not forsaken, and neither am I. My second thought. In order to have empathy for forsaken people, you will be forsaken. I want to just pose to you today that the rejection that you felt, that the feeling of being forsaken that you felt, that God wants to turn it, and He wants to allow you to minister to people who've been rejected, they've been forsaken, they've been overlooked, they've been underscored, that you might be the hands and feet of Christ to forsaken people. My second thought this morning is, you've been forsaken to minister to forsaken people. And Jesus Himself, my God, why have you forsaken me? The crazy part about that is the journey of Jesus. He knew what His end would be. But yet in that moment, He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? You will feel forsaken to minister to forsaken people. Am I talking to anybody this morning? My third thought this morning, if you feel forsaken and overlooked, over and over and over again, you might be putting too much hope in people and not enough hope in God. People forget, but God knows. People have bad days, but God is stable. People have feelings, but God is faithful. People engage you based on popularity, but you're always popular in God's book. I'm looking at some popular people in God's book. And God doesn't play favorites. He doesn't have an emotional moment. You're a good boy. You're a bad boy. You did what I wanted you to, and you didn't do what I wanted you to. You brought me my food hot. You brought me my food cold. No, God is constant and stable. He's like no faithfulness you've ever experienced. You are popular with God. My last thought this morning, whenever you feel forsaken, it is a moment of favor. Catch this. Favor is preceded by forsakenness. You know the story of Jesus. It's just one of many favored stories in the scripture. Jesus, God incarnate, feels forsaken in a moment. My God, why have you forsaken me? All for a short time later, just a moment, just a blip on the screen, just a click of the fingers, all of a sudden, a miracle, the miracle of our world, of our lifetime, of our journey takes place, that God comes back from the dead and shakes the keys of hell, of heaven, and the grave, and a moment of favor comes alive, not only in his life, but in your life. Your moment of forsakenness is just the prelude for a moment of favor. I want to talk to somebody. You feel forsaken. You feel rejected. You feel heartbroken this morning. You say, I don't even know. It's not even worth my time anymore. Can I tell you today that you're just on the cusp? You're just on the edge. You're just on the brink of a moment of complete favor. And if that's you this morning, you ought to say amen to that and receive that with all your heart. And I'm done with this. Sometimes separation feels like forsakenness. Draw close to God. Trust Him. Sometimes separation. Do you know that sometimes separation from the world seems like being forsaken? But you're set apart. God has something so powerful, so astounding, so beautiful, such a moment of favor for you in your family and in your life. And at times leading up to that, you will feel forsaken. And let me just encourage you in this Lent season. If you feel forsaken, it's a time to press in. It's a time to draw near to God and let Him draw near to you. It is a moment to press forward and do the things that God has called and created you to do. And let me end with this. This morning, as you give, many of you have already given. You've given on PushPay. You've mailed your tithes and offerings. But those of you that haven't, and maybe just a tad bit of encouragement for those of you that have, that your moment of favor, that your steps up to being favored is all about putting seed in the ground. If you feel forsaken this morning, sow some encouragement. If you feel rejected this morning, sow of your finances. If you feel brokenhearted this morning, sow it, because it is a prelude for extreme favor to be poured out on your life. It's no mistake in this place. You say, man, we just came out of COVID. You say, man, there's wars and there's rumors of wars going on in the world. Why in the world would they have a lift in here? Why would they have lighting going up? Why would they be doing remodeling in the back, in the outback? Why would they be putting a new marquee on the front of the building in the midst of all this chaos? Because this, we know that God is faithful and that He completes what He starts. We know that even though there's moments of difficulty and moments of pain and moments of darkness, that we're not called, we're not of those that shrink back, but we're of those that press forward. And so in faith today, we press forward. We put lights up so the gospel can be preached, not only in this place, but all around the county. We put a marquee on the front of the building so people feel welcome to come in to God's house and have moments of healing and moments of change and moments of ministry. We put a brand new room in the outback so my grandpa Chuck Wood can stand back there and preach about the fruits of the Spirit, the goodness of God in the land of the living. And this is the land of the living, not the land of the dead. And so today, the good news is, It costs money, but the good news is we got all the money. We got every bit of it. You said amen. The problem is it's still in your pockets this morning. So all you got to do is when you walk out of this room, you liked that, didn't you? When you walk out of this room, there's two mailboxes in the back. I believe with all my heart, I really believe that God takes care of all the needs. That when you do what he's asked you to do, it's okay. You can smile. You don't have to. If you don't want to give, it's okay. But I believe with all my heart that God is going to meet our every need. And I believe he's going to use many in this room. That if you believe in the faithfulness of God, I got to stand here and just tell you, I am a walking, breathing testimony of the goodness and the grace of God. And I got one more thing, Dad. This week, Tuesday morning, I went in and I had my gallbladder taken out. And many of you have heard the story about finding out I had celiac disease. Well, at the same time, I had a CAT scan on my abdomen. And the doctor said, we didn't find what we were looking for, but we found that you have a growth on your gallbladder. And he said, the good news is this, we'd never have found it. We would have never found at your age that you had a growth there. And it's 8 millimeters. And once it gets to a centimeter, they're always cancerous. So we want to schedule your surgery. It'll be really common. I went in, had that thing taken out. The doctor came in afterwards. He says, you're a walking miracle. I looked right back at him. I said, Doc, I know it. I know I'm the favor of God. The shelter of the Most High is resting over. How many of you want that shelter this morning? Lift your hand all over this place. Father, as your people sow, as they walk in covenant, not having an emotional experience, but stepping into a faith experience, a touching, a moving, a changing, a shifting, a rearranging of lives, a faith moment, not a feeling moment, but a faith moment as they give today. We believe that we're under the shadow of the Almighty and we can rest in your presence. We thank you for it. And all of God's people said, come on and say amen this morning.
Come on, say a big amen this morning. Can you do that? Can we put our hands together for the Lord? I want to just take just a moment, tell everybody again that helped early this morning. So many people came early, plowed in the parking lot, cleaned the front, sidewalks, with an hour's less sleep. How many of you are just bothered by having an hour less sleep today? Anybody? My grandson's got his hand up higher than anybody. Well, get some coffee. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. But thank you all the help and everybody that does so many things. Pastor Aaron, last Thursday night, I am part of it's a meeting that I've been involved in for probably 15 years. I was invited to be a part of it. It's called the CJAC meeting, Community Justice Advisory Council. The county court judge, city court judge, chief of police, sheriff, head of social services, on and on and on. And there I am sitting in the midst of it. And I'm walking out of that meeting the other day. It was at the sheriff's office. It just started up again there. And one of the ladies, very, very important individual, maybe she's watching this morning, she said to me, I just wanted to tell you, Pastor Marty, I've been watching your services online. I said, that's great. Thank you for telling me that. Yes, and you and your son, I've listened to you both preach, and it's just been wonderful. I said, well, thank you so much. And when Aaron speaks, amen. Thank you. This Thursday, Pastor Ryan will share God's word, and I'm always thankful for that. I want to, and Pastor Ryan alluded to it, that the Easter services that are coming up are so vital, and it's such a point in our year. And this year will be a little extra special, not only our Easter celebration here on Sunday, but our Good Friday services are always just really incredible. There'll be one here at 6 and one at St. Anthony's at 8. And then our Thursday night, which we've always done, it's It's referred to in the Bible as Maundy Thursday. It's the time that Jesus broke bread with his disciples and washed the feet of his disciples. And it's an incredible time. This year, we're going to take that Thursday night, which is April 14th, and we're going to celebrate 25 years since City Church is inception and it started. And it's going to be a great night. Amen. I think we have guests coming. Some of my close friends will be here that I've confirmed with. I'm not sure how the arrangement with who will share what that night, but what is more important than anybody is you. And I want you to put it in your calendar. And you say, well, I don't do that. I stay home on a night. Will you please? And I'm coming to get you if you don't come. I really am. I'm coming to your house. I'm going to knock on the door. And I'll tell everybody in the church, wait, because I got to go get so-and-so. I don't see him here. So April 14th, 7 o'clock, that's a Thursday night. We're going to celebrate 25 years with friends. And this isn't about me or any person. This is about giving glory to God for everything that he's done. So make that a part of your life that night. Ryan already said it, some changes that are coming. We're going to redo the marquee. We're going to redo the front doors. We're working on the lighting right now. We're going to redo that section on the other side of the Outback. We're going to call it the Charles Woods Study. And that's very fitting for him. And so just be mindful of what all the things that God is doing. And I just want to say hi again to our online audience. And can we just say thank you for being a part with us today? We love you. We thank God for you. Lord, have your way in these next few moments, I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Everyone has been touched with what has been happening in Ukraine. It's affected us to see 2 million people displaced, and out of that 2 million, a 500,000 children that are leaving their homes and going into other countries and just having to find a new life because of just the tragic things that are happening there. And I just want to encourage everyone to filter everything that you hear and what you believe, in particular, what you say and how you articulate it. Because this time has affected every one of us. We've come out of a pandemic, and now we're coming into a season where we're paying more for groceries and paying more for our gas and our vehicles, and it's affecting everyone. And I was talking to the Lafonaires the other day about the food pantry next door, and she said, we used to see, you know, people that were always really struggling. She said, now we're seeing middle-class people, because people that are paying $100 to maybe $300 more a month for their daily necessities, their monthly necessities, it has touched everybody's life in some way or another. And you can have your opinions, you can have those, but be cautious in how you articulate them and what you do. Our food giveaway last Wednesday was probably one of the biggest that we've done. And we've been doing them for over 20 months. It's probably one of the biggest ones we've done in quite a while. And just because sometimes you don't see God working does not mean he isn't working. Because he is working. And if you are in this season of your life and you say, you know, I want to help. I want to do something. We want to give you an opportunity to do that. You can give online. You can write on an envelope. You can just put on Ukraine. Because we have three organizations that we're going to focus on. One of them is World Missions Alliance, which we're a part of. I'm actually a board member of World Missions Alliance. And they are working with relationships that they have set up in Moldova, which is a bordering country right next to them where many refugees are coming in. I talked to Helen Todd, who her and her husband are the president of World Missions Alliance. Helen is originally from Moscow, got saved. And let me just remind everyone, too, let's just not pray for Ukraine, because the Russian people, many of them, they don't even know what's going on. Helen's brother who was on vacation, signed a petition against what Putin is doing in Ukraine. And because of that, there is a warrant, a bounty on him. And if he's on vacation out of the country, he comes back into the country, he faces 15 years in prison. Just because he doesn't want his country being a part of an invasion in another sovereign country. Don't just pray for the Ukrainian people, pray for the Russian people as well. They are not at fault for this. World Missions Alliance, one, Christians United for Israel, another organization we've been connected with, they're bringing Ukrainian Jewish refugees out of Ukraine and taking them into Israel, and also Samaritan's Purse, an incredibly integrous organization, have field hospitals set up, have people response teams in Ukraine, Poland, Romania, and Moldova. If you want to give to that, you can go on PushPay. There's a place for missions. Just put down in the comment, Ukraine. If you give and put it in the box, just write on the envelope, Ukraine. And if you want it to go to any one of these in particular, just write that out. We'll make sure that it gets there. And be cautious of the tons of scammers that are coming out of the woodwork to play on our heartstrings. Don't let them be a part of it. Job 33 says this, "Why do you complain to him that he does not give an account of all of his doings? For God speaks again and again in dreams and visions of the night when deep sleep falls on men as they lie in their beds. He opens their ears in times like that and gives them wisdom and instruction, causing them to change their mind and keeping them from pride and warning them of the penalties of sin and keeping them from falling into a trap." God is working, and many times we don't even see it. And how many of you know that's okay? Because he's doing things that we never thought he could do. And we are in the season, what is referred to as Lent. And last week I talked about it. And Lent is that 40-day period leading up to Easter, not including Sundays. And it's a time of reflection and has been identified as a season for abstaining from certain things. Many people think if they abstain from something for 40 days that they're all set. But God's heart and his will, and this is just the season for you to look at it, is for you to begin abstaining from things, not just for 40 days, but for the rest of your life, so that you and I can become everything that he's called and created us to be. And God's not mad at you. He's not upset if you're not doing something that you know better at right now, but he wants to help you. And when you hear God's word, he's throwing out his hand to you and say, "Come follow me. I'm going to help you to be everything that you are called to do," because he has this incredible plan for your life. And last week I talked about abstaining from being critical, having a critical spirit, and always just using your mouth and your words to tear people down and to say negative things. Some people feel like they are called to that. And God says, "I want you to stop that, because in your mouth you hold the power of life and death." The Bible says they're in the power of the tongue. And then I use the phrase to abstain from isolation. And we've learned the phrase social distancing in this last season to a fault. And we need to re-engage. And I'm not saying to be, you know, to be careless, but some people have taken it way too far and used it to their advantage to fulfill their own personal whim and their desire. That they don't want anybody talking to their life when they're heading down a negative path. I had somebody tell me years ago, "Well, if you love me, you'll love me enough to let me go that." And I looked at them and I said, "That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. If I saw you getting ready to drive your car off a cliff, would you want me just to say, 'Have a nice ride'?" Of course not. And the Bible says in Proverbs 18, 1 and 2, "Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against sound judgment. He takes no pleasure in understanding, but only expressing what he thinks." God says to you and I, this is a season for you and I to come out of that and to be a part of other people and to to make Christ a vital part of your life and of your schedule. And not just Jesus, but Jesus has called you and I to be a part of other people's lives as well. And to be with other people. And to encourage other people. And I just want to talk to you today about that, to abstain from being discouraging and living in discouragement and speaking discouragement, but live a life of encouragement. It's simply the action of giving someone support, confidence, or hope. And when I feel, and when you feel like giving up, encouragement will give you the hope to get back up. I just love that statement. And as we gather to meet with God today, we also gather to meet with one another. The Bible says in Hebrews 10, let us think always how to motivate one another to acts of love and to good works. Let us always think about this. And he says, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another. Motivate one another. And speak life into one another. Speak hope into one another. And it's not enough for just one or two to do this. We need to be telling everyone this. And how can we do that? How can we make that turn? Well, encouragement, we need to know, is something that God does. In 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this, the Father of encouragement and the God of all encouragement, who encourages us in our troubles so that we can encourage those in any trouble with the encouragement we ourselves have received from God. He doesn't just encourage you for you, but he encourages you so that you can be like him and that you can encourage others. And one thing that I've learned in my life of encouraging others, that God will bring people into your path, into your life, that you can speak something to at a particular moment. God will prompt in your heart to reach out to somebody in a particular moment that will incredibly change and transform their lives, because encouragement is something that God does. Encouragement is expressed through our generosity. Generous people are generous with their words. They say words that build up, not tear down. It's easy for anybody to point out what's wrong with somebody. You want to point out what's wrong in me? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at me and to point out all my faults. But it takes a man or a woman of God that can look beyond somebody's fault and speak life and speak destiny and speak encouragement into their lives. Like a man who asked me one time, 26 years ago, and I left a church service with him in Seattle, Washington. He said, what do you want to do in your life? And reluctantly, I began to share my heart and my dream with him, weeping, telling him I wanted to be a pastor, telling him I wanted to move back and live on the farm. And can I tell you something? When he looked at me and he said, you would be a great pastor. He said, I'm going to pray that God will open up that opportunity for you. And everything he encouraged me to do and to be that day has come to pass in my life. We need people in our lives when we want to give up, that they speak something to us. I remember leaving a Thursday night church service one night, and I was discouraged that it had just been one of those weeks, one of those months. And I wanted to slip out the back and walk across the parking lot. And sweet Becky, all of a sudden out of nowhere, I hear, praise God, Pastor Marty. God's for you. If he can be for you, who can be against you? And I stopped and I go, look, God, what is this woman? And I just want to say publicly today, Becky, if you'd not said those words to me that day, I don't know if I'd be sitting here today. And I know you've dealt with some setbacks in your life. Hold on a minute, and I want you to clap after I say that. I know you've had some setbacks, but God is not through with you yet. He's got a plan and a purpose, and he's going to bring greater things to pass in your life than you ever thought could happen. Come on, now. People that are encouragers are generous with their words. Ephesians 4:29 says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be encouragement to them that hear them. Encouraging people are generous with their finances. Look at this, Acts chapter 4, and I'm just going to talk about Barnabas just a little bit. His first name, his name was Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, because Barnabas was such an encourager. The Bible says he sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' or the pastor's feet. Why did he do that? Acts 4:32, all the believers were in one heart and one mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. This wasn't a governmental rule. This was a kingdom. This was something that God was doing. And I just want to stop and tell you that in this 25 years of doing the work of the Lord, I'm so thankful for Pastor Ryan standing up here today with the vision and just being, we're going to go forward, and he's seen this. We have seen God do things that you can't even imagine. People, there's been some that have sold things that they've had and brought it. I remember people that sold cars and they sold boats and they've done things to build the kingdom of God. That has happened right here. For many of us, we're sitting in chairs and we didn't even have to pay for because other people did that. I remember getting on, I can say this now, he's gone to be with the Lord. I remember man used to come here years ago, Buck Betters. He said, I'm going to take you to the presidential prayer breakfast in Washington. I'm working on it, he said. I'm thinking, okay. One day he came up, he said, it's going to happen. We're going, I got it set. He said, you're not going to pay for anything, I'm going to pay for it all. I said, okay. Didn't know. Well, he paid for my ticket. He paid for my hotel. He paid for my food. And we got on the plane. It's when we were doing the Generation Center. We just put the roof on it. I'll never forget it. Sat in the seat. I'm sitting next to the window. He's sitting at the eye. He looked over at me. I don't know. He was 83, 84, 85 then. He looked at me and he says, you got the roof done, don't you? I said, yep. He said, you don't have it paid for, do you? I go, nope. He said, how much you owe on it? $24,876.95. He said, you'll have a check in the mail on Monday morning. Monday afternoon, the mail came and there was a check for $25,000. That was just one of many miracles. You see, when God does something, he works in the heart of people. And that doesn't mean that, oh, now I'm going to give this and now I'm not going to have anything. But God works in our hearts that when you give, he gives back to you. This isn't a 40-day plan. This is a lifestyle plan. Encouraging people are also generous with their time because they take time for others. The Bible says in Acts 9, 26 and 27, that when Saul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. But Barnabas, Joseph, Barnabas, son of encouragement, took him and brought him to the apostles. Why? Because he saw something in him that no one else saw. Saul, who was murdering Christians, who would pull men out of their house when their children and their family were watching and have them beat because they were Christians, and he was not. He did not understand until he had an encounter with God on the road to Damascus, and God changed him and saved him. And now he's preaching the gospel, but nobody believes who he is, except for Barnabas. He saw something in him that was different. And he has this encounter with Jesus. And Barnabas is generous with not only his time, he's generous with his connections, he's generous with his reputation. And when you become an encourager, God will put you in a spot with some people that everybody else is saying iffy. You want to know how many phone calls I've got over the years and where people have said to me, watch out for this person. Look out for them. You don't know who they are, where they've come from, what they've done. And I've said them what the Apostle Paul said one time. He said, I've determined to know nothing among them save Jesus Christ and him crucified. and see God work and do great and mighty things in their life. I could tell you story, if we had time, after story this morning about that. The Bible says that Barnabas took him to the apostles. He took the time to find out. And did it encourage Paul? Acts 9:28 says that Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. When you encourage, you'll be generous with your time. Number three, encouragement creates unity and leads to a demonstration of God's Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26, that Barnabas was not just an encourager, but verse 24 says, he was a good man full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Let me tell you something. Encouragement brings the presence of God. Encouragement builds the church. It changes people's lives. It reaches the lost. In fact, the first Christians, because of that, the first people that were called Christians were in Antioch in Acts 11:26 because of the encouragement that Barnabas gave to one another. And then last, number four, encouragement can change a life. We are called to encourage people and then leave the results up to God. Listen to me on this now. Because you will encourage people and they may leave you. You can be the very catalyst in somebody's life, and they can walk out on you. And when they walk out on you, some of them just don't leave you. They got to sow a hurt seed into your life as they're leaving the door. I was thinking about that, and the Lord said, stop there, because I don't want this about you. I've had people walk out of my life, have hurt me, people that I've sowed into, loved on, brought up out of hardship and darkness, and then look at me someday like all of a sudden they've got more life figured out and walk away. But if you and I don't leave the results up to God, we will rehearse what happened in that circumstance, and it will allow how we define every other person that we meet. Listen to me now. God calls us to keep a tender heart and allow Him to change our lives. In Acts 13, God sends Paul and Barnabas on a missionary trip, and they pick up a man by the name of John Mark, and they went through difficulty of every kind, spiritual opposition. They were thrown out of cities, and the Bible says in Acts 13:13 that John Mark left them and went to Jerusalem. Left them. In Acts 15, Paul says to Barnabas, let's go back and visit some of those cities. Barnabas says, yeah, but let's take John Mark with us. Paul says in verse 38, no, no. And after the first service, Chuck Wood came up to me. I love that man. He said to me, you know what this shows us about the Apostle Paul? That he was as human as anybody. He disagreed with Barnabas. And he said, no, John Mark deserted us once. I'm not taking him back again. Paul was remembering the offense, but Barnabas was remembering a man that he encouraged. Maybe he went through a little dull time. And you don't want to know why? Barnabas wasn't just an encourager, but remember in Acts 11:24, he was full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And one thing I've learned about encouraging, in verse 39 says that Paul and Barnabas separated. They had a disagreement, and they separated. Barnabas took John Mark. Paul took Silas. They went on. I've learned something in the life of encouraging others. That when you speak into somebody's life, it's like we sang the song in the first service. We didn't sing it in the second service. When you open up your mouth, miracles begin to come out. I have spoke to people that were in jail. People who were addicted. People who were going through a breakup in a relationship. I have spoken to them just as people have spoken to me and told them, you're going to make it. You're going to get through this. God's got His hand on you. God's going to lift you up. He's going to help you become what you could never think that you could be. And you want to know what happened? The very thing that came out of my mouth. That's why when we say, and when we're asked to sing this song and agree with us. It's so important for you and I to do it, because it's one thing to have someone else say it to you, but it's another thing for you to say it to yourself. I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I am God's chosen. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 1,000 may fall on my right, 10,000 on my left. It shall not come nigh my dwelling place. I will live with the encouragement that God has for me. And God has given every one of you a place in your family, in your work, in your relationships, to encourage someone other. And you know what happened to Paul? Come on up, Debbie. At the end of his life, something happens to him like it happens to most of us, sooner or later. A change while he's in prison. While the man that wrote a third of the New Testament, and I love what Chuck said to me, it shows that he was human. We look at people in the Scripture and we think, well, that was then, but they don't know anything. No, they're just as human as we are. And Paul writes in 2 Timothy 4:11, he said, get Mark. His heart, his life changed. Get Mark, bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I just think that maybe somebody here today, and I love this quote, I don't know where it came from, be kind always, because everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. My brothers and my sisters, I want to encourage you in this 40 days to be an encourager. And not only to someone else, but to you in your home and in your family. Close your eyes, bow your head with me. I thank you, God, for your love and your grace here today, for those that are here, those that are watching online. I thank you for the gift of encouragement that you have given to every single one of us. I pray that as we leave here today, we will embody the same spirit that you have. And I give you praise for it in the name of Jesus. Come on, everybody, said a big amen.
Stand with us, would you?
When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority. Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority Jesus has given me.
Sing these words.
You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand and defeated. Every battle you've won. I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seed.
I love those words.
Heavenly place undefeated. By the power of your name, I am seated in the heavenly place undefeated with the one who has conquered it all.
I thank you that you're the one that you have conquered it all. Father, in this season, in this Lent season, in this season of spring, and in this season of new beginnings, Father, we thank you that you're the conqueror of our past, you're the conqueror of our present, and you go before us to conquer our future. Lord, we're thankful that our future rests in you. I pray your hand to be over this house. I pray your hand to be over this people. Those that have come this morning, those that have worshiped and praised you this morning, even those at home that have, Father, would you bless them in just a wonderful way this week. Thank you, Father, for the moving of your presence in this place today. We don't take it for granted, but we say thank you in Jesus' name. Come on, say amen to somebody. Hey, would you bless somebody on the way out? It's been great today. Amen.